Okay, good evening, everybody. Again, Erev Shabbos. Welcome back to our Pirkei Avos Erev Shabbos learning. So just a calendar announcement, please. Next week, obviously, we do not have Shir on Thursday evening, which is Leil Shavuos. So instead, next week, we have Shir May 23rd. Please mark your calendar. I'm going to post it on the chat as a reminder. It's the same Zoom link, May 23rd, which is Tuesday evening at 8:15 p.m. Next week, our shiur is Tuesday evening, May 23rd at 8:15 p.m. I will post the reminder, the changes for next week only due to Chag HaShavuos. So we obviously cannot learn on Thursday evening in this venue together. So please mark your calendars and let your friends know as well. Okay, let us get right into our learning tonight. So the we have two sponsors. One was at the very last minute, Mamish. One reached out to me quite a while ago, and they are both anonymous. We are sponsoring anonymously with much gratitude to HaKadosh Baruch Hu for the upcoming marriage of our daughter, and with the tefillos that all who are looking for their zivug hagun should find it bekarov and bimhera. So it is both a shavach v'odah to HaKadosh Baruch Hu from this family, for the marriage of their daughter, Baruch Hashem, upcoming, and also a tefillah to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that all those, though, Tov Heos Adam Levado, Eser Lo Ezer Kenegdo, all those who are searching for their Basher, shall find it benachas, besimcha, and bimhira. The second dedication is very last minute, just a new situation that came up, and we daven that this year should be as chus refuah shalema for Sima Bat Sara, B'soch Sha'ar Cholei Yisrael, also dedicating anonymously. Of course, I know both of the sponsors and the person in need of a refuah shleima as well. So these Divrei Torah should be a zchus refuah shleima for Sima Ba Sara, B'soch Sha'ar Cholei Yisrael. Let's get into our learning. So last week we looked at a Mishnah by Rabbi Akiva. We are going to look at four teachings of Rabbi Akiva to begin our shir in Pirkei Avos in quick succession in Parak Gimel. So I'm going to I'm going to screen share with you to the handout that I prepared so we can go through the Mishnah, the teachings of Rabbi Akiva together. So where am I? Here we go. Okay, can you see that it says, one second. Here we go. Pirkei Avos, chapter 3, 13, 14, 15, 16, yes? Okay, fine, very good. Okay, so these are a number of teachings. Rabbi Akiva was a Tana. He was one of the greatest Tanaim we have ever had, one of our greatest leaders, thinkers, teachers, Rabbanim, we have ever had. And Divrei Chazal, the Mishnah, the Gemara, and Midrashim are sprinkled throughout with the teachings of Rabbi Akiva. He was also a very important historical figure in terms of the time period in which he lived. He lived in the time of Roman oppression, Roman dominion, in the aftermath of Churban Bayis Sheni, and he himself was murdered, Al Kiddush Hashem, at the hands of the Romans. Rabbi Akiva is one of the Asara Harugei Malchus, which we read about and mourn on Tisha B'Av, as well as remember in the Musaf Avoda of Yom Kippurim. So let's look at the teachings of Rabbi Akiva. I'll just tell you, we're not speaking about the teachings in depth. We're speaking tonight about Rabbi Akiva, not about the Mishnayos, but not even the point of departure. What's the connection to Pirkei Avos? Because Rabbi Akiva's teachings are included in the Mishnayos of Pirkei Avos, being one of the greatest Tanaim we ever had. So here we go. Rabbi Akiva Omer. Rabbi Akiva teaches us. And of course, it is worthwhile to delve into these Mishnayos in depth, maybe a different time. But tonight I want to speak about Rabbi Akiva. But first, let's see some of what he taught us that is ensconced in the wisdom of Pirkei Avos. By the way, I must say, Miriam Goodman, I think this year started in May. I think it was May. It is, right? So it's Mamish. I think it's our third anniversary, no? It's so overwhelmingly unbelievable. Hodu Hashem ki tov ki li olam chaso ami ka'am chayishal. How many hours of Torah? How many of us have been inspired? How many people listen online? How many people have taken for themselves the chus of the sponsorship? How many of us have carved out time every week? How many of us, hopefully, have seen positive impact and changes in our lives through the teaching of Pirkei Avos? And it was started in May, right, Miriam? In COVID, yeah? And Baruch Hashem, it's not COVID anymore. And Baruch Hashem, we are still learning. It's really, I hope it's a tremendous nachas to the Ribono Sheolam that he sees that his children want so much to learn his Torah and be inspired and changed. And three is a chazaka. So it should be a tremendous chazaka. We should be zocha to keep plumbing the depths of the lessons, the wisdoms, the inspiration, and the lessons of Pirkei Avos Mamish. I'm so grateful to Hashem, to Miriam, for starting this year, and to every single one of you, to all the sponsors, and to everyone who takes the time to learn, because without you, there wouldn't be these shiurim. And it just goes to show you, when a person wants, what can grow from that desire. And we all have desires. We have to channel our desires for positive things, like Divrei Torah, Avodas Hashem, Schus Torah. It's really incredible. Everyone who takes part in this year should really, really have a big aliyah and a tremendous chizuk and a tremendous nachas for themselves. And I think, I don't know, I'm not a neviyah, far from it. We don't have that today, but I think that it must be a nachas ruach before the Ribbono Shel Olam. So, mazel tov to everyone who's a part of this shir on the occasion of our third birthday. It's just, I feel like we should have like a cake or something, Miriam. Instead of a cake, we'll learn Torah. Im ein kamach, ein Torah. Im ein Torah, ein kamach. So when you're done, go have a piece of cake and celebrate the kamach part of the Torah. Let's go. Rabbi Akiva, it's gevaldik. It's mamish gevaldik. It is yashar koach. It's mamish gevaldik. Rabbi Akiva Omer, Rabbi Akiva teaches, Schok, okay, so Rabbi Akiva, this is the topic of our shiur tonight. Schok v'kalus rosh margilin la'erva. There are certain things you should stay away from in life, because if you become involved in them, they are going to lead to sin. We just said everyone has taivas. So schok, laughter, it doesn't mean simcha. And kalus rosh, lightheadedness, being involved in silliness, even more than silliness. Inappropriate things, sometimes when we laugh, it's not because something has simcha, it's not because we have knachas, it's because it's not appropriate. And kalos rosh margilin la'erva, if a person is involved in these laughter, levity, lightheadedness, they will maybe pull to erva. Erva is gilui arayus, promiscuity, inappropriate behavior. Don't be flirtatious. And don't behave with flirtatious behavior when it is unwarranted. It's not appropriate, and it's going to lead you to sin. Mesores siag l'Torah, beautiful. You know what is a fence for protecting Torah? The Mesorah. Who better than Rabbi Akiva to teach us? Who is the transmitter of the Mesorah? Not with the 24,000 Talmidim because they died, but the five new Talmidim. He transmitted the Mesorah of Torah Shabbat Peh. Mesores siag l'Torah. So what is a fence to protect Torah? Transmitting the Mesorah. Shema b'ni Musar Avicha. Maestro Siagloja. You want to put a fence around your wealth. If you want to protect your wealth, make sure to give a tenth. You give a tithe to Torah, to tzedakah, to chesed, and giving a tenth of your funds away. We just had this in the end of Bichukosai, the end of Peruch of Zion, when the farmer tithes his flock. 9 for me, 1 for the Ribbon Shel Olam. When you give a tithe, it protects your wealth. This is all Rabbi Akiva. We're in the same Mishnah here. Nidarim siag l'prishus. If a person takes a vow, it's a fence, it's a safety net for abstinence. So in other words, let's say a small example, a person takes a vow, I don't know if you should do this, I don't know if you're allowed to do this, I'm just saying, a person takes a vow, they will never eat cookies again. I don't know. Let's just say, okay? I don't know. Not me, but let's say somebody does that. So that is a safety fence for abstinence. So the fact that you took a vow, if it has the status of a neder, again, I'm not teaching anything halachic. Don't do this without asking your rav. So that means you're going to abstain from eating cookies. It's just an example. So the vow is a safety fence for abstinence. And finally, siyag l'chachma, shtika. You want to know what is a fence for wisdom? You want to know what protects your wisdom? Silence. You don't have to post everything. You don't have to say everything. You don't have to repeat everything. You don't have to write everything. You don't have to holler everything. Learn how to be quiet. That's one teaching of Rabbi Akiva. Now we go to the next Mishnah. So you see right away it says, Hu Haya Omer. Hu Haya Omer is speaking about who? Rabbi Akiva, because he was a Tana, quoted in the previous Mishnah. So the fact that the Mishnah doesn't teach us the next teaching in the name of somebody else means we're still in the teachings of Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Akiva says as follows, Hu Ayomer Chaviv Adam Shenivra B'Tzelem, how precious is man that he was created in the image of God. We're just talking about mankind. Chiba Yaseira, no daso Shenivra B'Tzelem. An extra measure of love, endearment, because he was made known that he was created in the image of God. It's not just that man was created in the image of God, but God let him know. How do we know? Because anyone could open up the Chumash, and in Perek Tes it says, Kibitzal Melokim, Asas Adam, in the aftermath of the flood, God says, in the image of God, man was created. So man is precious because he's created in the image of God, says Rabbi Akiva. Then Rabbi Akiva says something else, Chaviv and Yisrael, Shenikru Banal Lamakom. Not only are Am Yisrael created in the image of God, like all humankind, but we are the children of Hashem. Kliba Yisera. No dar sam shenikru banam amakom. An extra measure of love is given to Klal Yisrael because it's made known to them that they are the children of God. Shenemer banam atam l'Hashem Elokeichem. Third teaching of Rabbi Kiva in this Mishnah. Chaviv in Yisrael. How precious, how beloved is Israel. So appropriate for Erev Shavuos, even though we still have Kaspa Azor Hashem, we have Shir Tuesday evening. But an extra measure of endearment that was given to them, a precious vessel. Of course, what's a precious vessel that was given to us? Torah. Chiba Yisera, no dasam shanito nam kli chamda shabat divra olam, an extra measure of love, because it was made known to them, Klal Yisrael, that God gave us this precious vessel through which he created the world. Shanema, like the pasuk says, Mishlei, and you all know this pasuk because we say it when we put back the Sefer Torah on Shabbos, ki lakach tov nasati lacham, the pasuk says, Mishlei, a good portion, a good lesson, I have given to you, Torah, si al tazovu. So Rabbi Akiva in this Mishnah teaches three things are precious. Man is created in the image of God. Klal Yisrael are children to Hashem. And not only that, but Klal Yisrael have an extra good measure, and that is that we were given the Torah. Okay, third teaching of Rabbi Akiva. Now, how do we know? Because look, it doesn't introduce us to a new Tana here. So when it says, who are you, Omer? Who are we speaking about? The last Tana we encountered. Otherwise, it would introduce somebody else. Furthermore, Hakolta, again, we're just doing these Mishnayos according to the Pshat, with a little bit of commentary. Of course, each one is deserving of being delved into deeply inside. Hakolta Fui. Everything is foreseen. This is one of the oldest questions in the history of humanity. This Mishnah addresses one of the most ancient questions in the history of humanity. If God knows everything that's going to happen, do I have free choice? If God knows what I'm going to eat for supper, even though I ate supper, if God knows what I was going to eat for supper tonight, do I have free choice about what I'm going to eat for supper? You do. But how do I have free choice if Hashem knows what I'm going to eat? It's a very perplexing kasha that doesn't have an answer. I remember a number of years ago, in one of my shir venues, the woman was struggling with this, and I actually emailed Rabbi Bender, and I went to meet with Rabbitzin Dvor Spiegel, Leha Hasham, of the Shliba. She was obviously still well. And this is something beyond the ability of the human mind to grasp, truly. I think it's a good mashal to say, let's say the mother offers the child spinach, I don't know, a four-year-old, sautéed spinach with garlic and macaroni and cheese for dinner. Or macaroni and cheese. No, sautéed livers with onions, large pieces of sauteed liver with onions, and gala, is this even a good example? Probably not, and spinach. Or she offers the child mac and cheese. So she knows what the child's going to choose, but the child still has a choice. We do have a choice, but Hashem also knows what we're going to choose. So the Maisa, like Robertson de Varspiegel, Hashem told me at the time, we can't think too much about this. Before I entered the Pardes, I forget which one became crazy. Because if you think too much about something of the mortal mind, we're only mortals. We can't understand everything. It's better to understand that we can't understand everything. Now, anyone who looks at the world around us, and perhaps at your own life, you know you can't understand everything. Even Moshe Rabbeinu couldn't understand the same. Maseches Brachos Zayin. He told God, Lama Yish Tzadik V'ralo, Tzadik V'tovla, Rasha V'ralo, Rasha V'tovla. It's Moshe Rabbeinu, so what we should understand. So we do have free choice. But everything is foreseen. Hakol tzafui v'reshus nesuna. On the one hand, everything is foreseen. On the other hand, permission is granted. Ubetuv ha'olam nidon. And the world is judged with goodness. Hashem is the tov v'hametiv. He is the one who is good, and he is the one who does good. V'alkolafi rov ha'maisa. But everything goes according to a person's actions, a person's deeds. That's how Hashem judges us. We believe that. There's a system of schar va'onesh. There's accountability. Hu haya omer. Furthermore, Rabbi Akiva used to say. 1 second, is there a question here? The first posted year was April 30th, 2020. Kenai Nahara. Kein Yerbu Baruch Hashem. I hope that it is a Kiddush Hashem. And the schus of the Harbatzos HaTorah brings many schus to every single person who's involved. The sponsors who are responsible for ensuring the share continues, to those who take time to join the Zoom, to our founder, to those who join from far and near, very, very far and near. And ultimately, I hope, as was Hashem, very much to the Ribbono Sha'olam. Hu haya omer, he used to say. Hakol nasun, you could see my screen. When I go like this, you could see, right? Okay, very good. Thank you. Hakol nasun be'eravon, mitsuda prusa al kol hachayim. Everything is placed in pledge. Erevon is like guarantor. I actually just mentioned an inshir this morning, right? Was it this morning? Kodesh or Arevim Zebazah? Arevus? Maybe it's yesterday, I don't know. Everyone is like Kodesh or Arevim Zebazah. All of Israel are guarantors for one another. Collateral. Okay, fine. That's a good word. It also means to be nice. Barvo Hashem Midchas Yudu Rishalayim. It was yesterday. Okay. Umitsu the Prusal Kolachayim. Everything is placed in collateral. Everything is given as a collateral, you could say. And a net is spread over every living being. We're under a net of the Ribbono Shel Olam. Hachanus Pesucha. The store is open. Hachenvani Mekif. The storekeeper extends you a credit. Vahapinkas Pasuach. The book of accounting is open. Vahayad Koseves. And the store owner is writing in the ledger. Vachal Harotzel Lovos Yavoviova. Whoever wants to borrow can come and borrow. You can borrow from the Ribbono Shel Olam. You're going to take so much from God. And the store is open. And the ledger is open. And he's writing all of our actions. Everything that we borrow. Everything that we take from the Ribbono Shel Olam. For example, when you eat an apple, did you make a bracha? You go into the store, meaning the world. I don't mean literally you went to the store. You go to the store and you buy your apple. Fine. Now you're at your kitchen table and you want to eat an apple. You went into the store of the Ribbono Shel Olam, and that is spread over all living things. You went into the store of the Ribbono Shel Olam, which is the world, because Hashem owns the whole world. And you pick up your apple and you take a bite. If you want to come and borrow, that's fine. You could come borrow. But did you pay? The hand is writing. Did you pay for the apple? How do you pay? So the Gemara says in Brachos, Lamed, hey, that someone who does not eat with a bracha is like taking me'ilah, the sanctified property from the Beis Hamikdash. But kids, you're stealing. The store is open. The storekeeper will give you a credit. You can take my apple. But how do you have to pay for the apple? By making a bracha. V'hagaba'i mechzirim tadir b'chol yam. And the officers, the gabai, there's the word gabai. The gabai makes their rounds every day. And they want you to pay up what you owe. How do you pay? Torah, mitzvos, chesed, limud Torah, brachos. And the exact payment from man. Maybe it's with your knowledge, maybe without. Maybe things are happening. Not maybe. Things are happening in the upper realms we don't even know about. Where am I up to? Sorry. And they have upon what to found their case. Their case is often, they could go up to Ribbono Shel Olam and say, look, on this and this day, she ate an apple without making a bracha. V'adin din emes. Our judgment is skewed and flawed. That the dying emes is a dying emes. And the judgment is one of truth. And the ledger is open before the melech malachim melachim. And we're standing there. There's going to be no excuses. What are you going to say? What are you going to say? I was too busy to make a bracha. I was checking Instagram, so I forgot to make a bracha. I was rushing, so I didn't think about you, that you provided me with this apple. You went into my store. You took produce off my shelf, meaning my world, my tree. You went to the backyard. You picked something off the tree. You don't own it. I own it. And every day the gabayim go around to see who's doing what, and they write it down in the book. And they have taka upon what to found their case. Yismochu means like to lean, smicha. Adin din emes. We are flawed. Remember, this is all Rabbi Akiva. But the Ribbono Shel Olam never makes a mistake. There's no sheker lefanav. V'alkol mesukan l'seuda. Ultimately, everything is prepared for the feast. The feast is waiting. Olam Haba is waiting. To bask in the glory of the Shechina is waiting. But you have to pay your dues to get there. And the question is, do we pay our dues to get there? These are the teachings of Rabbi Akiva from Perek Gimel and Pirkei Avos. Lightheadedness and frivolity bring a person to uncovering nakedness, sexual immorality, inappropriate behavior. If you want to know how to protect your Torah, learn the Mesorah. Go to your Rabbanim, your leaders, your teachers, your grandparents, your parents. They hand you down the Mesorah. If you want to know how to protect your wealth, give Meiser. It's a person would think in the Welt, if I give away a tenth, I'm going to have less money. But that's not how it works in Yehadus. If you give away a tenth to tzedakah, you have more money. Doesn't make sense. That's because God doesn't have to go according to the natural calculations. That's what it is. If you want to know how to stay away from something, how to abstain, take a vow. I gave you the example of never eating cookies again. It was just an example. And if you want to know how to protect your wisdom, you should be quiet. Rabbi Akiva also teaches us that man is very precious. He's created in the image of God. Klal Yisrael is very precious. They are children to Hashem. And finally, Klal Yisrael have an extra measure of love or endearment because we have the Torah. Furthermore, all is foreseen, but you do have permission to do what you want. You have free choice. You could choose. I don't know, Hashem knows where you're going to be on Shabbos, but you could choose where you're going to be on Shabbos. It's like Rabbi Tzindor Ospiga said, you could go crazy from this. It's beyond our capability to fathom this. The world is judged according to the good, because Hashem is a tova mativ. Bahakalafi rov hamaisa. Everything is according to your deeds. We believe that. We have schar and onesh. And finally, the last Mishnah, which we spent some time on, we understand we're in the store of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And he's willing to lend us whatever apple, orange, clothing. But are you wearing shanis? Then you stole from me. Then you just came in and took it off my shelf without paying. Did you not make a bracha? Did you mix basar b'chalav? Were you ansanua? Shem says, I can lend you whatever you want. You're in my store, but the hand is writing. And writing. And writing. These are all the teachings of the great Rabbi Akiva. Okay. Why are we talking about Rabbi Akiva? Well, first of all, it's Pirkei Avos, but I think it's pretty obvious that we're talking about Rabbi Akiva because this time period of Sfiras HaOmer, like the Gemara tells us in Maseches Yuvah Masamach Beis Beis, you know the Gemara, perhaps now I know you should know it off by heart. Amrushnei Maser Elv Zugim Tamidim Hayudah the Rabbi Akiva Megeves Vanti Peres V'Kula Mesu BePerek Echad Mefnei Shlo Nehagu Kavod Zelzev Ayaolam Shamim. So why we talk about Rabbi Akiva so much during the time period of Sfiras HaOmer? Because it's also a time period of mourning, avelus, for the students of the great Rabbi Akiva, and yet he persevered. And that's what I want to talk about tonight. That was all the introduction to Shir. I'm not joking. Rabbi Akiva has a certain midah that we have not yet spoken about. He has many midos, much to learn from him, and a plethora and wealth of Torah knowledge. And Torah is infinite, so that means the Torah that he left us is infinite. But one nekuda of Rabbi Akiva that appears as a running theme through all of his narratives about his life is that Rabbi Akiva's midah, that should be one of the most inspiring to us, is that Rabbi Akiva never gave up. No matter what situation he was facing, his tenacity of spirit is such that he never gave in to Yeush, which means despair. He never left God, so Chas v'Shalom. He never gave up on himself and never gave up on Klal Yisrael. And considering the life and the time in which he lived, for anybody who faces such challenges, that's difficult. But in the time period in which he lived, when the future looked so bleak, it looked like there was no future. The Romans had just destroyed the Beis HaMikdash. It was still practically smoking and smoldering. And they started to kill all the Bnei Torah. And they took thousands into Galus. And they slaughtered thousands more. And then the Bar Kokhba rebellion happens. And Rabbi Akiva actually thinks he's Mashiach in 135 Common Era. And the Romans completely destroy the rebellion. And whatever remnant of Jews is left is either exiled or killed. And then we have the Sarhu Gemachus, of which Rabbi Akiva was one of them. So for a normal person who has many challenges, it's a struggle to keep living, to keep going. But Rabbi Akiva lived in one of the most horribly painful, distraught, bleak times in our national history. What did the exile say by the first Churban? Kuf Lamed Zayin of Tehillim. Al Naros Bavel, Sham Yashavnu, Gam Bachinu, B'Zechreinu Etzion. It's a normal reaction. What are we doing in Galus? What do we do when we see destruction? We cry. Bachinu, b'zachreinu etzion. And what did their captors ask them? Shiru lana mishir tzion. And what did they say? How could we sing songs of tzion when we are on foreign soil? So the ketuvim, Tehillim, Kuf Lamed Zayin, paints for us a picture of what a regular, normal reaction is to such despair, to destruction, to cry, to weep. Let my right hand be cut off. Let my tongue be taken out of its mouth. If I forget thee, O Jerusalem, Rabbi Akiva sees Galus and Churban, he's laughing. But all the other Yidden are crying. You want me to sing a song? How could I possibly rejoice on this soil of the foreigners? How? Eich. Interesting, like the word Eicha. Eich Nashir, Eicha. Eicha, you could say, is asking, how could I have any simcha on foreign soil? Kof Lamed Zayin, chapter 137 of Tehillim, expresses the despair of the captives after Churban Bayis Rishon on the soil of Babylon, by the rivers of Babylon. And it's interesting that when the captors ask them, Shiru lanu mishir tzion, what they say is, Eich nashir et shir Hashem al admas nechar. Then, imeshka chayich Yerushalayim. Eich is the same as Eicha. Alef yod chaf sofis, alef yod chaf, Eicha, Eich. Perhaps what Eicha, there are many interpretations as to what Eicha is, what Eicha means. Last week we spoke about Ayei Kohen, a different shir. But one of the things you could say is, how, Eicha, how could I have any sense of rejoicing when I'm on foreign soil? How could I have any laughter? I don't even want my right hand if I forget the old Jerusalem. Who could survive without their right hand? I don't even want my right hand if I don't have Jerusalem. Yom Yerushalayim, it wasn't on purpose. It wasn't on purpose that I went into Kof Lamed Zayin of Tehillim. Actually, my friends in Yerushalayim, she sent me three beautiful pictures this afternoon with the dancing in the streets, the fags. She wrote Yom Yerushalayim. I knew she was going to her sister. I didn't know she was going for Yom Yerushalayim. I thought for Shavuos. It wasn't on purpose that I brought up this capital, but Hashem knew I was going to bring up the capital. Well, no, I had a choice. Imeshkachech Yerushalayim tishkach imini tidbak lishoni lichik imlo eskerech imlo ales Yerushalayim arosh simchasi. But what did Rabbi Akiva do when he saw Churban? He's laughing. Akos chav dalet, I'm a base. His colleagues are crying. Because that's what you do when you see Churban, you cry. Rabbi Akiva's laughing. They say, why are you laughing? He says, why are you crying? They say, we shouldn't cry. Did you see the foxes and the Kodesh HaKadashim? We shouldn't cry. She says, you know, that's why I'm laughing. Because if the prophecy of destruction has come true before my eyes, be adu, I am certain that the prophecy of redemption will also come true. It gives me hope. They saw despair. They're tearing Kriya. And he sees lo avda tikvatenu. They see mourning and he sees rejoicing. They're crying and he's laughing. Rabbi Akiva was one of our greatest leaders, greatest Tanaim, and greatest Torah personalities we've ever had. Not only because of the plethora of Torah knowledge he taught us. We just looked at four Mishnayos today. You saw how much there is to learn. We could probably spend 6 months just delving into those four Mishnayos. I'm not joking. Maybe even more with all the commentaries. But he taught us something else. He looked at the world with a different set of glasses than everybody else. And he did not lead an easy life personally. I mean, would you call the loss of 24,000 Talmidim easy? And he didn't live in an easy time nationally. In fact, both personally and nationally, he lived in times of great destruction. Great destruction. But he saw the world differently than everybody else. Where his colleagues saw foxes in the Kodesh HaKadashim, he saw Od Yeshu Zaken Muzkenos Berchovas Yerushalayim. What are you saying? They said to him. What are you saying? There's a fox in the Kodesh HaKadashim. The Torah says, Hazara Kurav Yumas, Vachshav Shualim Hilchubol of Lon Rivke. What are you saying? Don't you see the fox? What do you see? He says, you know what I see? I see that one day Jerusalem will be filled with shops and parks and shuls and batei medrash and Jewish neighborhoods. And men and women will walk in old age with a cane in their hand and children will play in the streets. Are we looking at the same scene? Are we looking at the same scene? Zion has been plowed like a field. What are you dreaming? One of the greatest legacies of Rabbi Akiva, one of the greatest hopes, one of the biggest chizuk that he offers us, besides for his Torah, and you can't put aside his Torah, because he was such a gaon, is his attitude towards the destiny of Klal Yisrael, the future of Eretz Yisrael and the vitality of our people and land, even when it looks barren and dead. So his colleagues, I already quoted that's in Marcos Chavdalad. His colleagues see destruction. I mean, Mama sees something else. I see children in the park. You see children in the park? Yes. And what do they say? Akiva Nechamtanu, Akiva Nechamtanu. And then in Yavamo, Samach Beis Beis, I'm highlighting tonight in Akuda of Rabbi Akiva's life that I have not yet spoken about. We've spoken about other aspects and teachings of Rabbi Akiva. But tonight I'm highlighting one of the greatest legacies of Rabbi Akiva. The greatest legacy is his Torah. One of the greatest modalities through which he lived his life, and one of the strongest teachings that we should all receive from Rabbi Akiva. Masora siag Torah. If you want to protect your Torah, receive Masora. Says Rabbi Akiva. So what's the Masora of Rabbi Akiva besides for his Torah? Let's go to Yavam Masamech Beis Beis. So I quoted already. So all his Talmidim just died. I could say it so flippantly, but like it's over 700 funerals a day. It's an unprecedented disaster. This is after, till the age of 40, he didn't even know Alpes. And he wants to give up. It's so hard to learn Torah, but then he sees a rock and the water. You all know the Medrash. If water can pierce a rock, Torah can pierce my heart. And he didn't give up. He dedicated himself to God and to learning Torah. And he learns for 12 years and 12 years, and he becomes Rabbi Akiva. And then all his students died. Whatever the case and why they died, that's not for now. They all died. So someone else would see complete unmitigated disaster. A normal person would see a disaster of Herculean proportions. Unfixable. No Yeshua. The Gemara even says, Vayalam Shomim, the world was desolate. Where someone else sees 700 funerals a day, Rabbi Akiva saw 5 new Talmidim. How's that possible? Actually, someone just reached out to me from Yerushalayim this morning. You should know that you're all sponsoring Torah that's going very far. She reached out to me this morning from Yerushalayim, and she said she's catching up on my Shi'arm, and she said she's just listening to Bein Kach Ubein Kach Banayim. Remember we spoke about Rabbi Meir Balhanes? Rabbi Meir Balhanes says that whichever way, if they're sinners or if they're pure, they're my children. Do you remember? It was just last week. Yes, Bein Kach Ubein Kach Banayim. Okay. So she said it was so beautiful. So I said, oh, enjoy, it's so beautiful. But where do Rabbi Meir Balhanes learn this from? Rabbi Akiva. So when someone else would see the end of the world, understand the world, Vayalam Shamim. That was the point of all his life work. Desolation, destruction, churban. No. What did Rabbi Akiva do? He went to our rabbis in the south and he started all over again. Vahim, heim, and midu tar oso shah. Once again, what do you see? Rabbi Akiva did not give up. Rabbi Akiva refused to give in to Yeush and despair, even when any normal person would see that there is no hope for repair. Rabbi Akiva saw it differently. Yavam Samach Beis Beis, his Talmidim, Makos Chavdalad, him and the colleagues on Harabais. The Gemara tells us in Maseches Brachos Samach Amud Beis, it's a Aramaic narrative in the Gemara. One time it happened to Rabbi Akiva, but he was traveling along the road. He reached a certain city, Ba'al Ushpizia. What did he ask for? Ushpizin. I want to be a guest in your hotel. And he requested lodging. No one gave him any lodging. Amar Koda Avid Rahman Alatav. Rabbi Akiva said, okay, I can't find lodging in the hotel. I'm tired. I've been traveling all day. I'm a Maseches Brachos Samech Amud Beis. Whatever God does is for the good. So he goes and he has to sleep in the field. He has nowhere else to go. While he's in the field, what happens? He's traveling with a rooster, a donkey, and a lamp. So today you could say he's traveling with an alarm clock, a car, and an iPhone. And he couldn't find lodging. He's taking a road trip, and it's 3 o'clock in the morning, and he decides he wants to pull over to a rest stop on the thruway, all those hotels on the side of the thruway, but he didn't realize it's Thanksgiving weekend, and he didn't make an appointment or booking in advance, and every hotel he pulls into, There's no lodging. I'm exhausted. I'm driving from New York to Toronto. I need lodging. Well, sir, it's Thanksgiving weekend. You should have thought of this in advance and you should have booked a hotel. I would be posting on every WhatsApp chat I know. I'm so aggravated. I can't find a place to stay. I'm so exhausted. How am I going to drive the rest of the way? It's a sakana. Please, Hashem, Shem, ask me, Mama Kim, I need to find a hotel. Rabbi Kim says, okay, it's no problem. Everything Hashem does is for the good. I'll sleep in the field. So he's in the field. And what does he have with him? A car, what did I say? What's the rooster? An alarm clock. Let's say it's battery operated, not plug in because there's no outlet in the field. Today there probably would be charging stations, but fine, we're back in the day. So he has an alarm clock. He has a car and he has an iPhone. The wind came and blew out the lamp. Your iPhone battery just died because you know where to charge it. A cat came and ate the rooster. Your alarm clock battery just died. So now you don't have your iPhone. Forget the flashlight, forget your apps, forget being in touch with anyone, forget checking the weather even though you're outside. It's much easier to look at the weather outside, but somehow it makes more sense to go out to your weather widget and see what's the temperature. Just go out the door and see what the temperature is. No, so the iPhone just died and the alarm clock just died, and would you believe it, the lion came and ate the donkey. Now my car battery just died, so I'm in the middle of the field. I couldn't get into Motel 7. I'm trying to get to Canada. It's Thanksgiving weekend. I just lost everything that I missed. I'll be freaking out. No. Rabbi Akiva says, wow, call the Avad Rachmana Latav. So I would see a dead rooster, a burned out lamp, and a dead donkey, and a hotel that wouldn't give me lodging. And I don't know, maybe bandits are going to come and eat me. Am I going to get home? I now ran out of food. That's the biggest scare to a Jewish mother when you're taking a road trip. No, you don't think. My husband says you're paying for a bar mitzvah. I'm like, well, I have to be prepared. So you ran out of everything. So what would you be doing? Would you be happy? Maybe you're Rabbi Akiva. I wouldn't be so happy. I'd be freaking out. No. Call the Avad Rachman Alatav. This is wonderful. It's almost comical because the way I'm saying it, bring it down to our day and age. Who was this person? Misoras siag l'Torah. If you want to know how to protect your Torah, receive the Misorah from those who came before us. Listen to your teachers. Look at me, says Rabbi Akiva. Let me give you my Misorah. Whatever God does is for the good. Well, it just so happened that in Motel 7, where he wanted lodgings, bandits came and they captured the whole hotel. Rabbi Akiva says, Amar luhu lav amrei lichu. Rabbi Akiva said to his Talmidim, did I not tell you, Kamash asa kodesh baruch hu, everything that HaKadosh Baruch Hu does, the Gemara continues on Samech Aleph, HaKadosh Tova, everything is for the good. And Rashi on the Gemara explains, Ilu haya ner daluk, let's say his candle was burning, the wind didn't blow it out, haya hagayes ro'el, so the army of bandits, it wasn't Motel 7, who went into the city, would have seen him. Ilu haya hachamor no'er, ol hatarnagol korek, or if the donkey was braying, or if the chicken, the rooster was making noise, haya hagayas bo ve Shava also. They would have Shava Osi. It's as if Rabbi Akiva is talking. Rabbi Akiva then says, didn't I tell you everything Hashem does for the good? What do you mean? If my candle was burning, maybe the legions of bandits would have seen my candle burning. And if it was the days before light pollution, they would have seen, why is there a candle in the field? Maybe there's somebody there. Let's go capture him. And if my donkey was braying and my rooster was saying cock-a-doodle-doo, then they would have come and they would have captured me. Rabbi Akiva has an ability to see with a different set of lenses, to see something that the Hamon even his colleagues on Har HaBayis didn't see. Forget Hamon Rabbi Gamliel's crying and Rabbi Akiva's laughing. Rabbi Gamliel saying, well, wait a minute, look at the Shualim Hilchuban. Rabbi Akiva saying, don't you see the old men having a coffee and learning a Daf Yomi while they're sitting outside in the sun of Yerushalayim? And everybody else is mourning for the 24,000 Talmidim, and yes, he mourned. But where they only saw Misa and Churban, he saw Chaim and Binyan through five. And when anybody else would be calling AAA or Geico Roadside Assistance or Chaverim, if they have it in upstate New York, Rabbi Akiva said, you know, Hashem, this must be for the good. Didn't I tell you, he said, everything is for the good. One of the greatest Messiahs of Rabbi Akiva. You know who I'm giving Musar to tonight? Michal Horowitz. You're all just listening. And I'm not just saying that. Because Hashem knows the emesk. Hakol tzafui ve'rishus nesuna. You have free choice, but God knows what's going to happen. The other exiled say, Sham yashavnu gam bachinu. Bachinu, we're crying. Rabbi Akiva's laughing. Let's go to the time of death. Rabbi Akiva was murdered and martyred by the Romans in Caesarea. I'm even going to show you that in the time of death, Rabbi Akiva sees the future. It's such a powerful insight that I'm going to share with you. I learned it last year. We were just in Springfield this past Shabbos. I spoke. I told this particular insight over in my shir. And it's so powerful. It adds a whole new dimension to understanding Rabbi Akiva. And how his ideal of perseverance and ayin tova and belief in the future overtook every situation. So I really wanted to start with Pappus and Rabbi Akiva and their arrests, but I don't have time. Maseches Brachos Samech Aleph. First, the Gemara talks about how they were both arrested. Okay, Lamaisa, both Pappus and Rabbi Akiva were arrested, and now it's time for Rabbi Akiva to be killed. Okay, B'shal Shotzias, Rabbi, you know, that's where Rabbi Akiva talks about the fox and the fish and the water. You know what I'm talking about? The mashal, I'm cholich al mashal. Papa says, why are you teaching Torah? Rabbi Akiva says, how can I not teach Torah? I'd be like a fish out of water. Okay, fine. They're both arrested, and now Rabbi Akiva is going to be killed, and he was killed in Caesarea. B'shal Shotzias, Rabbi Akiva lahariga. Zman kriya shemahaya. Brachos samech alf. They take Rabbi Akiva to be killed. Who? The Romans. Who first killed his 24,000 students, and who desecrated the land, and plowed the field of the temple, and took thousands into exile, and crushed the Bar Kochba rebellion that he believed was the Mashiach. And Eretz Yisrael is running with rivers of blood. And Rabbi Akiva says, I see old men and old women sitting in the streets, and they're saying, are you crazy? So it's time to kill Rabbi Akiva. And what are they doing to him? They're scraping off his flesh. We say it, but Baruch Hashem, I don't know what it means. You don't know what it means. My grandparents knew what it means. They're scraping his flesh with iron combs. There's no anesthesia. There's no numbing cream. They're torturing him to death. But he's still alive. But they're pulling off his skin. And he was grateful, I don't want to use the word happy, that he had a chance to fulfill one more mitzvah. And he was accepting upon himself the Om Achu Shamayim, the yoke of the kingdom of heaven. And his Talmidim were there. Amalav Talmidav, Amru Lo Talmidav. Those Talmidim said, Rabbeinu Ad Kan, this is your dedication to God. Do you see what the Romans are doing to you? What do the Malachim say? What do we read by the Asar Ugei Malachus, Zu Tor V'Zuz Chora? It's in the Gemara. After he's killed, the Malachim say, this is Torah and this is its reward. The Talmidim are wondering the same thing. You're still dedicated to God? It's one thing when your 24,000 Talmidim died, you got five new ones and you teach new Torah. It's one thing when they see Shu'alim and you see old men and old women relaxing in the streets. It's one thing when they're crying by the rivers of a foreign city and you're able to sing a Jewish song. Okay, fine. You want to tell me you believe in God when the iPhone and the car battery and you're out of gas? Fine. But now you still believe in him? Ad Kan? Look what's happening to you. The Malachim say, Zu Torah v'Zu Shchora? You still have Amunah? You still Mekabel Omachu Shemaim? You're still not giving up? Amar Lahem. You know, Kol Yamai Hayisi Mitzta'er. Pasuk said, you know, there was one Pasuk in the Chumash that always bothered me. You know what it was? B'chol nafshecha, v'ahavta Hashem Elokecha, you shall love the Lord God with all your soul. Afilu no talis nafshecha, even if he takes your life, you should love him. And I always wondered, kol chayai, did you ever wonder? I never wondered. Kol chayai, says Rabbi Akiva, I'm always wondering. Masaya vo liyadi v'aykamena. When am I going to have a chance to fulfill this mitzvah? I fulfill learning Torah. I fulfilled teaching Torah. I fulfilled Kriya Shema b'chol avavcha b'chol meodacha. I ate matzah. Hayu mesubim b'bnei brak. Who was it with? Rabbi Akiva, Ma'aseh Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Tarfon, Rabbi Yeshuva, Rabbi Akiva. Hayu mesubim b'bnei brak. Mesaprim b'tzias Mitzrayim. Kol osha leila. At Shabbat Tamid and Marmula Hamar Basenu Gizman Kriya Shema shal shachmes. I did all the mitzvahs, said Rabbi Akiva, but there was one mitzvah I didn't know if I was going to be able to do. Love the Lord God with all your soul, and now finally comes to my hand. I should have fulfilled. I shouldn't be grateful. I can't use the word happy. I shouldn't be content. I shouldn't be grateful that I have a chance to fulfill the mitzvah. I shouldn't fulfill it. He lengthened the statement of Echad. Echad. And a soul departed with one. Out comes a basko and says, Ashrecha Rabbi Akiva. How fortunate are you, Rabbi Akiva? Why are you fortunate? So Yatzah Nishmasa Be'echad. Your soul went out with one, and the Malachim say, before HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Zu Torah V'Zu Schara, he says, be quiet. Ashrecha Rabbi Akiva, Sh'ata Muzman Nechai Olam Haba. That's not really what Hashem says, be quiet. He answers them. Oh no, they say to him, we want to die by your hand. Hashem replied to them, Chalbcha B'chayim, their portion is an eternal life. Okay, I want to quote a chiddush that I saw last year. Rabbi Shmuel Yehuda Levin Zatzal was the Rosh Hashiva of Tells, Chicago. If you remember, last year, Shivasara Thomas, he suffered a massive heart attack. He was only 63 years old. He had just become Rosh Hashiva 3 or 4 years prior after his father, the Rosh Hashiva, was Knifter. And very suddenly, at the age of 63, he suffered a massive heart attack and he was Knifter. He teaches something unbelievable about this Gemara, life-changing about this Gemara. I'm so sorry. Every week I say it's so late. I cut out information. I hope you don't have to leave, but I'm not insulted if you do. And please catch the NOYU Torah. Should I apologize that I keep you for extra? I should apologize for teaching more Torah. I apologize if I'm taking your time. You meant to be doing sales, but I can't apologize for teaching Torah. Especially because it's Zoom and I won't know if you left, so you could just slip out quietly. So Shmuel Yehuda Levin's Zatzal, he's unbelievable. I'm saying it in my own words, okay? That's one of the greatest parts of this Gemara. He died, he was killed, he was martyred. Makaba Oma Chushamayim. His neshamu was Muzman Nechai Olam Haba. I think I said this once before and I do not remember which venue it is. His students ask him a question. And he could say to them, you know, I'm in the middle of being killed, so go ask my colleague. Or go ask Rabbi Meir Balanes, because he knows the Masorah. Or go ask Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai, he was probably in a cave hiding at this point, but fine. Or go Google it. Or go to Sefaria. Or look it up in the library, but please don't ask me, it's a very bad time. Can't you see what they're doing to me? I don't even have any flesh left. You want me to answer you? I should still teach you Torah. I have a question. Amar Lahem. He answers them. It's one of the greatest parts of the last moments of the end of the life of Rabbi Akiva. He could just ignore them. Forget, go ask somebody else. In 2 seconds, he's going to be dead anyway. So just ignore them. What, are they going to blame him? No, they're going to say, well, he was in too much pain to answer us. His mind was preoccupied. Couldn't answer us. So now we'll go ask his Talmidim. You don't think the Talmidim could have said, you know what B'chol Nafshecha means? It means Afilu no Tals Nafshecha. So that's what our rabbi was doing. Amar Lahem. He answered them. Rabbi Shmuel Yehuda Levin was teaching the perspective of a Rebbe. He said, a Rebbe always teaches his Talmidim as long as he can, no matter the situation, no matter the circumstances. But I see a different insight. I see a Tana, a Jew, a survivor, a leader, who until the very last second of his life saw hope for the future. because he knew if he was going to answer them, he was ensuring Masores Siaglatora. As long as I can transmit to my students, I will. Because everyone might around me might be seeing death. But I see that it's these Talmidim who will carry these lessons to the future. Amar Lahem. He makes sure to answer. And it would have been very reasonable for him not to answer. And nobody would have said, how could you not have answered them? And maybe the whole narrative would have continued. Rabbi Akiva was a person who saw the world, a giant. Giant. Who saw the world with different glasses than everyone else. Everyone else saw disaster, hayalam shamem. He saw heim heim emidu tar ososha. Everyone else, his colleagues, not Ploni Almoni, his colleagues, saw foxes. He saw redemption and children playing in the streets of Yerushalayim. Everyone saw Churban, and he was able to be Mesubim with Bnei Brak. Bnei Brak was his city. They came to him. Everyone else saw the car battery that died, hotel that won't give you lodging, an iPhone that just went, and even the alarm clock doesn't work. And Rabbi Akiva says, you know, everything is for the good. Didn't I tell you everything is for the good? And even in death, I'm basing this insight on the teaching of Rav Shmuel Yehuda Levin Zatzal, who says, and teaches us about a master teacher. A master teacher never stops teaching, which is absolutely true. But it teaches you something else. He literally never gave up. Till the last second of his life, he never gave up. He always knew that Klal Yisrael would continue, that the children would come back to the streets, that everything God does is for the good, that five Talmidim would rebuild the whole world, that the Pesach Seder in Bnei Brak would herald someday the redemption. Amar Lahem. If I can answer you, and in my answer, I prove that I believe there's hope for Klal Yisrael, because you're the Talmidim. You're going to take and teach your next children, which I mean children, you're going to take your spiritual children, your Talmidim, teach them what I just taught you, and they're going to teach and teach them, down to us, down to us. So Rabbi Akiva said, if I can still teach, I ensure the continuity of the Mesorah, and I'm going to show you the glasses with which I see the world. You see that I'm being killed, but I see an opportunity to transmit the Mesorah to Klal Yisrael. Rabbeinu Ad Kan, Amar Lahem. Klal Yemai Heyisi Mitzda'al Pasuk Zay, he's darshaning. Let me give you a Dvar Torah. Let me give you the Pshat of Pesukim. V'chol nafshcha afilu no talos nafshim es nishmascha. Nasai yavodi ladi v'akamena. Achshav shabai ladi lo yakayimena. And that's his final lesson. It's not just that he's a master teacher. He said he was literally, not like they say literally today, the quintessence of a giant. One of his greatest mesoros is that we must look at the world with the lenses of Rabbi Akiva. Because when we do, we see called the Avad Rachman Tav Avad. And when everyone else sees death and destruction, we will retain the hope and the amuna and the capability to see Binyan and Geula. We wish a Mazel Tov, a very, very heartfelt Mazel Tov to the family who is sponsoring on the occasion of the upcoming marriage of their daughter, Baruch Hashem, and all in need of their Zivug Hagun Bekarov should find it in the Schus of these Divrei Torah. And we wish a speedy Refuah Shleima to Sima Bat Sara, a very, very special person who I know for a long time. Shusha Refuah Shleima B'Soch Shar Chalei Shal. Next week, Shir's Tuesday evening at 8:15. We need sponsors for June. Please. I have a sponsor for June 1st, and then the calendar is very open. Baruch Hashem has been a tremendous chazaka. If you're listening online or you're joining and you enjoy and you benefit, if you've never taken a turn or going 3 years, please reach out. We do need sponsors to ensure that Be'ez Hashem the Torah will continue. Sorry, I have to mix business with pleasure. Sorry. Have a wonderful Shabbos, and Be'ezer Hashem will resume Tuesday night before Shavuos. Thank you so much. A Chodesh Tov. Kol Tov. Thank you, everyone.